Old Testament portion of the book of Daniel, the book of Daniel chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 80 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, and captains, the judges, the treasurers, and the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." May the Lord write his eternal truth upon the tables of our hearts. You've often heard it said that every man has his price, implying that at some point every man will sell out his convictions, his consecration, and his commitment. If the bribe is high enough, if the offer is great enough, and if the threat is awful enough, any man will sell his soul. Now some people believe this to be a universal truth, and they can cite example after example to substantiate their claim. And yet when you turn to the Word of God, to the contrary, you find example after example of men and women who could not be bought, men and women who had not bend the knee, men and women who put conscience and conviction ahead of compromise and conformity, men and women who would stand firm. Now we have no better example of this than in the story of the three young Jewish men in the court of King Nebuchadnezzar. Even the smallest child in Sunday school is familiar with this story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When we tell the story to the children, we often talk about the three young boys who wouldn't bend, wouldn't budge, and wouldn't burn. But this morning, for a few moments, I want us to look at these three men from the standpoint of their devotion, their determination, and their deliverance. Now, when King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon laid siege to Jerusalem in 586 B.C., he instructed his generals to be on the lookout for young Jewish men of good appearance and who were intelligent, in order that they might be taken captive back to Babylon and trained in the royal court. We know from the book of Daniel they found at least four such young men. We know them today as Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. But they were given the Babylonian or Chaldean names of Belteshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now these three young men refused the rich diet from the king's table, and they thrived on pulp and water. Moreover, God blessed them with great knowledge and insight and the interpretation of dreams. And so impressed was King Nebuchadnezzar with Daniel's interpretation of his dream concerning the great image that he exalted Daniel and his three young friends to high positions in the royal government. But there came a day when King Nebuchadnezzar, filled with vanity and conceit, probably based on his dream of the great image, had a huge idol or image made of gold erected on the plains of Dura. And on the day of its dedication, he gathered together all the officials and all the people of the province. And he issued an edict that at the sound of all of the enticing music, all people there assembled were to prostrate themselves and were to worship this golden image. And so, at the appointed time, as the enticing music drifted over the plain of Dura, everyone fell upon his face and gave homage and worship to the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar had erected in his vanity. That is, everyone but these three young Jewish men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Three young men whose devotion was given to the true living God. Three young men who have been brought up in the second commandment, which says, thou shalt not make unto thyself any graven image, and bow down and worship it. Now, when their refusal to worship the image was brought to the king, he was filled with fury. And he sent for the three young men. And he said he would give them one more chance. If, when the music sounded out over the plain of Dura, they would prostrate themselves and worship the image, he would forgive them for their disobedience. Have you ever considered that from a human standpoint, these young men had all kinds of reasons they could have used to rationalize their convictions and their conscience and have had acceded to the king's edict? Consider these. First of all, they were not being forced to renounce their worship of Jehovah. This was not necessarily a step into a lifetime of idolatry. All they had to do is bend their knee this one time. It'd all be over in a few minutes. Or take this consideration. They were the captives of the king. He had total power over them. They could say that they had been forced to it. They had been coerced into this act. And then true, had it also been true that the king had been their benefactor? He had educated them. He had provided for them. Couldn't they stretch their conscience just a little bit in order to show their appreciation to the king? Then too, they were in a strange land. They were far away from home. And certainly they would be expected to go along with the drift of the day when it was so strong. Or consider this. They knew that their forefathers way back had worshipped such images at one time or another. Why should they be more strict than their forefathers? Or then this very practical reason. And this will appeal to some of you. They had prominent places in the king's court. And if they would only compromise this one time, they could retain those positions. And they would be in a position for many years to help their fellow Jews who were captives in Babylon. From all human evaluation, they had all kinds of reasons why they ought to give in to the king's edict. But not so with these three young men. They had something else ringing in their hearts. They had the word of God. And their heart's devotion went out to him. They had been trained in God's word and in God's law as children, and it had never departed from them, and they knew that it was sin for them to bow down and worship this image. And so without a moment's hesitation, they responded to King Nebuchadnezzar's offer. O king, we are not slow to give the answer. We don't need any more time to make our choice. We believe that our God is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. He's even able to deliver us from your power if that be his will. But even if that is not his will, we will not bend down and worship your image. When commanded to turn or burn, or conform or be consumed, there was no hesitation in the hearts and minds of these young men. And even if it was not the Lord's will to deliver them from the burning fiery furnace, like Job they would cry out, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. They were willing to be martyrs for their conscience and their conviction, rather than compromise and sin against God. And with a complete sense of their dependence upon the providence of a sovereign God, they told the king, we will not bend. So in his rage, Nebuchadnezzar had the furnace heated 7 times hotter than it was usually heated. So hot was it that the soldiers who carried them up to put them into the furnace themselves were consumed by the flames. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were cast into the burning fiery furnace. And soon one of the soldiers looked and he saw that they were not harmed. And he told the king, and King Nebuchadnezzar hastened to the edge of the furnace. And he looked, and then he turned to his counselor and he said, did we not throw 3 men bound into that fire? True, O king. And the king says, I look and I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the flame. They're not harmed. And there's a 4th. And he looks like unto the Son of God. These young men who were devoted, who were determined, were delivered. And a 4th like unto the Son of God was there in the midst of their fiery trial to deliver them from this thing. And so impressed was King Nebuchadnezzar that he called the young men forth from the furnace. He worshipped the God of Israel. And he issued an edict that no evil should be spoken against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he elevated the young men to higher positions in his court. Because he knew that young men who were so devoted and so determined in their consecration and allegiance to their God were men who could be trusted with human affairs. Now, my friends, there's a message in this story. As childlike as this story may seem to you this morning, there is a pertinent personal application in this story for every single one of us. Morally and spiritually speaking, every single one of us has a plain of Dura, where is erected the golden image, and where you and I are confronted with a choice day after day, where we have to make a choice between conformity and compromise or conviction and conscience. Where you and I have to determine whether we're going to go the way of the world or whether we're going to stand for the Lord and be true to Him and His Word. Now, our plains of Dura have all kinds of images. They have all kinds of enticements. They have all kinds of threats. And you and I confront them every day. Perhaps you were at yours last week. Perhaps a golden image was erected there on the counter in your business or on your desk, and it focused around a business deal. Or perhaps the golden image was erected in your social circle and it took the form of a Bible and cheap money talk. But it was there, and you had to make a choice. You were confronted with a golden image. What were you going to do with it? Ministers have it. Ministers are confronted with these golden images all the time. There's such a thing as ecclesiasticism and getting ahead ecclesiastically. For you see, the plain of Dura in your life, in mine, is a place of testing and trial, where you and I have to choose to go the way of the Lord or where we have to choose to go the way of the world. And it's covered with all kinds of enticements, things that would captivate our hearts, that would draw it unto itself in order that we would give our allegiance to something other than to the Lord. Now, these golden images have all kinds of names. Prestige, acceptability, pleasure, getting ahead, power, you name it. You know what they are, just as I know what they are. And just as Nebuchadnezzar surrounded his idolatrous worship with enticing music in order to get the people into the mood, in order that they would prostrate themselves and worship the image, even so Satan throws the book at us. The lust of the eye, and the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, They're in the novels, they're in the magazines, they're on the screen, they're all around us, appealing to all that is low within us. But all the while saying, come on, bend the knee, give in, conform, let yourself go. And if enticement doesn't work, then there's always a threat. The fiery furnace is always hot and burning. Conform, bend the knee, or you lose your prestige, you lose your acceptability, you lose business, your friends will call you names, you'll be blacklisted socially, they'll call you a blue nose, and they'll wipe you off their list. You better watch out, you lose business and you'll go in the hole and your competitor will get all your business. So the threats go. And the fire gets still hotter and hotter. And Satan whispers, come on, every man has his fight. What do you do? Give in. Conform. Bend the knee. Now the question this morning is this. How can we stand against this? How can you and I be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and stand firm against such assault? What does it take to emerge the victor on the plain of Dura? It takes, first of all, a wholehearted devotion to the living God. You've heard it said, perhaps, that he who stands for nothing will fall for anything. You and I live in an age and in a time when people have very few solid convictions concerning much of anything, and particularly things spiritual. Because of the relativistic, materialistic drift of our society today, very few people have very solid convictions concerning spiritual matters. Why were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego able to stand firm? Because they had been trained and they believed in God's word. And they believed that God spoke the truth. And they had solid, clear-cut conviction concerning the Lord. They remembered how their daddies and mamas had told them about a God who had delivered his people from the bondage of Egypt. How he had provided for them and guided them. That he was a God of holiness and righteousness and truth. And a God of mercy who took care of his own. And because they believed and had these convictions concerning the living God, they could stand firm. So it must be for you and for me. And unless you and I have solid convictions concerning Jesus Christ and the Christian faith, and unless our heart's devotion has gone out to him, it is going to be very easy to succumb on our plains of Dura. God's given us his word in order that we might be strengthened in our faith, in order that we might have spiritual armor to stand against the assaults and temptations of Satan, in order that you and I might be strengthened, that when you and I face these golden images, our convictions and our belief will be so firmly rooted and grounded that we'll be able to say it today. It doesn't take us a moment to make our choice and decision. Our heart goes out to the living Savior, and we stand for him no matter what. We could speak this morning about a life of prayer. You know, a soul that has been trained to bend its knees to the Lord finds it very difficult to bend its knees to false gods. And how vital it is to prepare the soul in conversation with the Lord, wherever you may be. Because you see, my friend, you never know when you're going to turn that corner. And there, staring you squarely in the face, will be the golden image, and you have to make a decision. How great it is to be able to cry out to the Lord in the depths of your soul, and cry out, Lord, help me, and find that strength and that help that you need in that moment to overcome the temptation. But most important of all, we should realize this, that when we're rooted and grounded in the Word, when we're trained in prayer and talk to the Lord in conversation, that we are going to find that Jesus Christ is the altogether satisfying one. Now, you may not believe me again this morning, but may I say this? You can depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't depend upon your golden images and idols. They'll let you down every time. And when you give your soul in complete devotion to the Lord, you will discover that he is the altogether satisfying one, and he never lets you down. Finally, let us realize this, that when we take our stand for the Lord, when we make our decision and say, here I am, Lord, I'm going to be true to you and to your word, there's going to be the hot, fiery furnace, I guarantee you. The Scripture says so. The Scripture says, all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And it's going to come. They crucify the Lord of glory. Can his servant expect any less if they're true to him? The Lord has promised that the Christian, but have to endure fiery trials and temptations. This is the way that it is. In fact, something is drastically wrong somewhere if all our Christian faith elicits is a pat on the back. Because the Lord Jesus Christ made it clear, if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. Now, I'm not talking about any self-made, self-styled martyrdom or arousing the anger of people because you made yourself obnoxious. I'm simply talking about living a life and a testimony that is true blue to the Lord Jesus Christ, that seeks to honor Him and to live for His glory. And Satan is not going to let that go by. And opposition is going to come. And you can expect it. But although all that be true, you also have this to rely on. Jesus says in the New Testament, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. So, my dear friend, be assured this day that when you're brought to the plain of Dura in your life and you're faced with a golden image, whatever it may be in your situation, and by God's grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit, you stand firm. Just like it was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you shall discover that there is a force like unto the Son of God who stands there to undergird you and to strengthen you and to support you. How I pray that the Holy Spirit would drive this home to our hearts this morning. Because I get heart sick. I get heart sick. When I hear about Christians of my congregation who supposedly have a testimony and want to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, and then they just completely blow it and bring ridicule and scorn upon the name of the Savior. If ever the Church of Jesus Christ needed men and women and young people who are not ashamed of the Lord, Christian businessmen who refuse to play by the shady rules of the business world today, Christian men and women who in social circles would not conform to the cheap, muddy way that is going on, Christian men and women who would dare to stand up and be counted for the Lord Jesus Christ and live for His glory and let their light shine. Christian men and women who put devotion to Jesus Christ above everything else. And then the New Testament began to be true. The salt of the earth and the light of the world. And you'd find people coming to you and coming to me. What do you have that I don't have? I want to find out about it. But beloved, it's time that we awaken to the fact that the Christian faith and the Christian life is not playing church for an hour on Sunday morning. The Christian faith and the Christian life is a total matter in which I am completely controlled and committed to Jesus Christ, and He lives His life through me by the power of the Holy Spirit, and I'll stand for Him. And I'll get rid of this unholy duplicity and this fence straddling that tries to get the better part of two worlds, a part of the world and a part of the Lord. And a conviction and a consecration that comes out and says, Christ, You died for me on the cross. You shed Your blood in order to deal with my sin. I belong to You. Now use me right where You please. You'd see revival in Trinity Church. But beloved, it's come to a day when you and I have to face up to our plains of Dura and our golden images. May we be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And when those times of temptation and trial come, be able to say, oh, it will not be any trouble for me at all to make my choice. My heart belongs to the living God and to His Son, Jesus Christ. And I stand for Him, no matter what the price may be. And when that day comes, I'll guarantee a revival has come to Trinity Church. May we pray. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for this simple story of the Old Testament of three young Jewish men who were not afraid to stand true for the Lord, who laid it on the line, and who found that because they were devoted and determined, the Lord stood with them and delivered them. Oh, God, give us the same kind of courage and conviction. Give us the same kind of God-centered conscience that we will be true to the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask in His blessed name. Amen.